Have you ever wondered if your therapist follows their own advice? We're gonna watch some clips of some shows and tell you what our lives are like behind the scenes, too. So, my name is Hannah. I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I have two other therapists on with me today.
My name is Sandra, and I am a licensed mental health counselor.
My name is Natalie Rosado, and I'm also a licensed mental health therapist. And yeah, we're so excited about today's episode. Hannah said, one of the things that we've been wanting to have be a part of this channel is just allowing people to see the humanness behind like what it's like to be a therapist, and just recognizing that although oftentimes we show up as blank slates in our sessions, like we're people too. And we also deal with, real life issues. And Sandra, I think Sandra, you were the one that suggested that we talk about this show. And I had not heard about it. So I was like super excited to watch it.
We're gonna watch some clips of Shrinking, and if you haven't heard of it, I highly recommend it. Hannah said that it felt very validating. Yeah, so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna comment on that from the therapist perspective.
Yeah, so we had someone that works at our practice that was able to pull a few clips from. So although we've seen the show, I should preface, but she pulled a few clips. So we don't know what the clips are, what exactly, what snippets she pulled. And so that part will be a surprise. And so we'll watch a clip and then we'll comment a little bit about it and share our thoughts. And I don't know about you guys, but this show reminded me a lot about, did you guys ever watch The Office?
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel like it was like The Office, but like the therapist version of The Office?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it was also a healthy mix of like drama and comedy. Like there was a lot of comedy in there, like Ted Lasso almost. So, like a whole lot of heartwarming stuff. But yeah, it was just, you also get to see what a private practice looks like because it's three therapists that work together in a group practice. So that like community aspect of it too, which I thought was awesome.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. And then there's three of us on here. That's true. And they
Yeah.
all have different styles. Yeah, like different
Yeah.
styles, different approaches, and different experiences and stuff. So that's a good point. That's awesome. Sounds good. All right, you guys ready for the first?
Ready.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
It's just as some people say that we're like roomies with bennies.
Okay, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you do.
You know what? You're right. And I think that we could both use a little space.
It doesn't have to be tonight. I was really looking forward to the back rub.
It's not how it works, Chief.
Okay. What do you guys think about that one?
This guy, for a little background information, Harrison Ford is in the show, like a world-renowned therapist who's written many books and has won several awards on how to be a therapist, but obviously he's got his own relationship problems. I think that was really relatable too, because we don't always know how to do relationships either.
You're right about that. To be there for others and help provide guidance, but then also recognize sometimes that we have our own blind spots. And so that's why it's really important, I think, for us as well to have people who are around us, who love us and support us, that are able to point that out in like a loving way. And I felt like she did, like she stood her ground and said, I'll give you the space that you're looking for. And so I thought that was a pretty powerful moment.
Yeah, definitely.
But he also struggles with connecting, which is something that we encourage our clients to do, to connect with others. And that shows that connection is very challenging for anyone, really.
And I think also with him, like, he probably connects very well with his clients, but there's also a 50-minute limit to that. Like you have just 50 minutes that you're connecting. And in this situation, his girlfriend wants to connect and he can't go past that 50-minute limit. That's a lot more than he usually is giving off. So maybe that's tough for him.
You're right about that. Yeah. And there is a difference between working with people that are clients I don't know if you guys experience this, and then working and then living with people that are like our loved ones, right? And like our clients, it does require sometimes a level of vulnerability, just being present for them. And then also at times we like self-disclose whenever it's beneficial to the client. But like in our personal lives, it does require a whole different level of vulnerability. And you can see that he really struggles with that with women in general. Yeah. My heart went out to him. It really does. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
And you hear him saying, it doesn't have to be right now. And it's when we try to say something, but we don't say what's underneath what we're trying to say. So we say something, but we mean something else. And by we, I say humans, right? So we reach out for connection, but instead of saying, hey, I want you to stay tonight, he says,
Exactly.
well, it doesn't have to be tonight.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, don't go.
Exactly.
Yes. Do you
Yeah.
think she knew that? Do you think she knew?
I think in that show, that woman's way more intelligent than they give her. They do give her credit. She's a neurologist, but I think relationally, she is very intelligent. Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of when they say meet people where they're at. Do you think that's what she's doing? Like she's recognizing that I need to like I'm gonna show up in a way that he feels most comfortable with, but then also at times challenge him in some ways.
Yeah, because she probably got what he was putting out there, and he, because it looked like he was watching TV, had his nightly routine. And I'm sure at that age, being alone for a while, like he's created this routine, and she was now involved in this routine, but he still wanted his alone time. So she could probably pick up on that and just gave him that space.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's something to be said for the term, like, what did he say? Roomie? No. What was the term? Roomie?
Friends with Bennies or
Benny.
something.
Yeah, exactly. And that clearly screams like non-committal or like levels of commitment there. Yeah. Which we know that he struggled with in his first marriage, right? Being fully committed. So you can tell there might be a fear of like repeating that or finding himself in a similar situation, possibly that he was in years ago. Anything else about that clip before we move on to the next one?
I think we're good.
Yep. Sounds good.
Guy from my old army unit texted me. He's coming down for a day and wants to hang. So that sucks. Bad guy, great guy. Bad friend, nope. Make this easy on me. He loves reminiscing about the old days. I don't want to be in my head reliving any of that shit. Okay. So here's a trigger for you. Listen, man, triggers are everywhere. For me, it's sirens. Every time. Every time I hear one, I'm right back to the night that Tia was killed.
Oh, I have so much to say about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. First, like starting from the beginning, this guy he was talking about is a great guy. And for reference, like he was in the military and he was deployed to Afghanistan and has some trauma there. And that guy that he was gonna hang out with has experienced the same or similar trauma overseas. You can tell how trauma affects people differently. Like this other guy likes to reminisce about the past, but he doesn't. And this is very similar to like siblings when they grow up and they talk about it, and it seems like they experienced completely different childhoods because the perception is different. So some people may see their childhood as traumatic, but their sibling may see it as like the best childhood ever. And that's similar to what's going on here. So he's got to figure out how to deal with hanging out with this guy.
That's a good point. I didn't even realize that when I was watching it. But yeah, you're right. And then we have the therapist who clearly like handles his own trauma in like a humorous way, like with dark humor sometimes, or and he's like talking about like triggers everywhere and all of that. Yeah, so that's really interesting. That was a really good point. What do you guys think about him self-disclosing with his sharing a little bit about, at that point the client knew a little bit about his story, but about sharing that?
I think it depends on the situation. And it depends on the level of trust with the client. Because you don't want to give them so much information that the focus is now turned on you. And I feel like that's what this relationship turned into. If you end up watching the show, you can tell that there are way too many boundaries crossed. But it can be healthy to share like the little pieces of your life appropriately. And it sounds like this one was an appropriate situation because he was relating with the client. So the client felt like he wasn't alone in that situation.
I notice it when the moment when the therapist notice, I know what's happening here. I don't know, and it's actually a nonverbal, it's a body language. I don't know if it was done on purpose or if it was, or I'm actually just putting too much into that. When he's talking about his friend, there is a moment when his face tells me that, oh, I know what's happening here, and turns into him and talks to him about the triggers. That's when he starts self-disclosing. So that's the part that I noticed that I like when he is now turning in towards him and saying, same thing happens to me. And I think if we just think that particular moment, I like that he is trying to, we're talking about connection, to connect with him and say, I can relate to that. After that, I agree with you, Hannah. But I think if it's that moment, is I can relate to that. I can see that.
Yeah, I agree. And what's interesting, Xandra, is that I noticed something similar, but with the client, like when the therapist said the thing about the sirens, you see like the client's face almost like, oh, really? Like the client realized, like, oh, so that happens to you too, or whatever it is. You can tell he was thinking something like that. Like something along those lines. Let me first preface by saying, when I was watching this show, I was thinking like, oh my gosh, this is such a good show for therapists. But I was wondering, do people who are not therapists connect with this show as much? And if so, what would be the draw or like the pull? And I don't know what you guys think, but for me, it was like, maybe it's this idea of how there's like a lot of running themes of like connection and like being there for each other and still like being present in the midst of dysfunction and a lot of highlighting of a lot of different like relationships and like things like that. So I wonder if that's the draw. But anyway, so going back to the scene, like you can tell that the client felt connected to the therapist in that moment when the therapist disclosed. And so I was wondering, have you guys ever had a time in where you either have like disclosed something and you're just like, oh crap, I probably shouldn't have disclosed that, or a moment where you wish you could have disclosed, but you felt, oh, I don't know if that'll be good. I know there are times where I feel, oh, I wish the client knew that I like am also walking through something similar, or I have experienced something similar, but it doesn't feel quite right in sharing it. But I do wish sometimes that they knew that I can understand it in my own way. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced anything like that. So I was just curious.
Oh yeah, I think I've felt all of those scenarios. And then there's also sometimes I'll self-disclose and then forget that I self-disclosed. And they'll bring it up in another session. It's like the things that come out of my mouth, I don't remember as much, but what they say, I remember every single detail. So it's a very strange dynamic.
I love it. And because of social media, there are a few clients sometimes that are like, how's Charlie? And I'm like, how do you know his name? Oh my gosh, I love it.
I think just like Hannah, all of those moments have happened at one point or another. I think I do try to be careful just because I remember when I was in school, all of this. Oh, you don't self-disclose, you don't self-disclose. But I think there are moments when, like what you were saying, Natalie, this connection, oh, really, that happens to you. And so it's when you receive the same feedback, non-verbal cue again, it feels good to know that there is that moment of connecting with your client that is priceless, right?
Yeah, I do. I will say this. I'll self-disclose something. I struggled lately. I've been thinking about this idea of how we have been trained to be these blank slates, which I think is an impossible feat anyways. But the irony of it all is that we're encouraging our clients to really step into their full selves or their real selves, but we're doing it in a way where we aren't being our full selves while trying to encourage them to be themselves. And I find that I can understand the reasons for that. Like, we want to make sure that we're as objective as possible and not interfere with their process. But I wonder sometimes if, like, how much of an impact we could really be if we had the freedom and the ability to be fully, genuinely, sincerely open and really connect with our clients. Like, two human beings coming together and being very open and transparent. And I do wonder what kind of transformation and change that would actually generate. And yeah, lately I've been thinking about that for some reason. I don't know. So it's interesting that this clip came up. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think in this show they took that, but they went to the extreme. But I also self-disclosing, my therapist has self-disclosed with me, and that has made me feel so much better or so much more connected to her on different levels. So I think being on the client end, the receiving end of that, it does help me a lot. And it would depend on what it is too, because I think knowing everything about her would make it a lot different. But knowing like little tidbits that she's been through similar situations, or even when I'm explaining a situation with a client and she's honestly listening to that, gives me anxiety too. I'm like, oh, thank the Lord. And somebody gets it. Like it makes me feel so much better. So I know that self-disclosure works on both ends too.
This would be a good question to pose. What do they think? And comment on about that, self-disclosing. Should we do it? Should we stop?
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Hannah, when you said extreme, so you mean moving a client in is not acceptable?
Moving a client into your home. Oh
What?
my goodness. Just the ethical boundaries. I mean, he started off a little risky with taking him to an MMA fighting gym and having him fight for money as a session. Like what? So he started off. Oh, goodness. Yeah, that gave me anxiety thinking about getting reported to the board, like all the problems that would come with that.
I forgot about that scene. Yeah. I love it. Okay, ready for the third one?
I'm
Yeah.
ready.
Oh, I can't stop thinking he's going to go back to the way he was after mom died.
Look, it's called hypervigilance. Perfectly normal, considering what you've been through. Did you talk to your dad about it?
No. Besides, he's the therapist. Shouldn't he be picking up on the fact that I'm picking up on the fact that he might be freaking out and that might be freaking me out?
Can't believe I followed that. Maybe carrots aren't good for me. Look, this panic you're feeling is never going to go away until you tell your dad why you're scared.
Yeah, but he's trying so hard. He'd be so bummed.
Yeah, weighing a harsh truth on somebody you care about sucks.
These were probably some of my favorite moments, like the bench moments. I don't know how you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
He's like the grandpa I always wanted.
He's my favorite character.
Yeah.
Paul, right? Is that his name? Or no?
Paul, yeah.
Okay, what do you guys think about that?
First of all, I love when he goes woof, when it's just
Oh.
a good moment. Yeah, but in this scene, she's talking about, I think her dad is getting better and starting to deal with things, but her fear is that he's gonna collapse if she reveals, you know, what she's feeling or what's going on in her life. So she's extra hyper vigilant of her dad. And I think a lot of times when you go through this like shared trauma together, because for her mom died, for him, his wife died. So they went through that together and then processed it in completely different ways. And now they've developed this kind of codependency where he was talking about her being hypervigilant. She's super hyper aware of his emotions and trying to tiptoe around them, but he's doing the same thing with her, and they really just need to talk to each other. So I think that's what was going on that bench.
Yeah. I see you thinking, Sandra.
point, Hannah. I didn't think about that, but yes, it is a good point.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I was thinking two things. One is serious, one is like not that serious. But I was thinking about how here Paul, the therapist, is, encouraging her to talk to her dad about what she's feeling. But and then, as we said earlier, like he struggles to talk to his loved ones about like, what he's feeling. And you see some attempts, but like it takes a while for him to get to that place where he feels comfortable taking that step and being honest. And I think it goes back to as us as therapists, how sometimes like it can be not easy, but we feel comfortable sometimes like encouraging our clients to do what we think might be best, maybe for their situation, but sometimes it's hard to do that in our personal lives too. Like we struggle with those same challenges and have those same concerns within our family or fear. So I thought that was interesting. And then just the funny part is when he said, "I can't believe I followed that." Like, how many times do you guys like does has that happened to our clients? As I don't know if you're following me, and you're like, "You really are." I'm like, "I really did follow that."
Or like when they just go all over the place, and but you still somehow you piece it together, and they're like, "I don't know if you really understand what I'm talking about." I'm like, "Yes, I do."
Yeah, it's like I got all of that.
That's actually my favorite moment because it happens so often in our sessions. And I often tell my clients, don't worry, you can go everywhere you want. And if I stop following you, I'll tell you. And we pause. So, yes, that's it. But the other aspect is the grieving, right? Like, how is processed differently? And there is no right or wrong way to process, it's just different. And so it's what we also see here that they are talking about how one is improving, or I guess you say it better, Hannah, but how he is moving forward and don't want to disturb that space. And yeah, because it can be very challenging.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, and it is hard when you have family members that are struggling and dealing with things in different ways, and then some are moving, or the people are moving at different paces and like their healing journey. And you see that too play out in later episodes with the dad and what he does with the mom's stuff and things like that. So yeah, healing from grief or really any trauma can be challenging. But and then when you have other family members and loved ones that are also walking through their own journey and process, and it looks very different, that adds a whole nother layer, yeah, to the experience. I think there's a reason why I liked the bench scenes, but what did you guys think about just the it's this is not even a word, but like the informalness, I don't know, it might be a word, of like the sessions on the bench versus like in the office.
I actually love that, and I would love to do more of that. I've done like a walking session before, and I thought it was great. But actually, when I was in school, we were taught that kids and men don't do well sitting face to face and talking about their feelings. So you need to try and do like an activity like play therapy or go on walks where you're side by side instead of walking, looking at them dead in the face. So I think it can be super helpful, like teenagers, kids, some adult men, like just depending on how vulnerable they feel, it can be really helpful. And I love doing it.
Yes, I love it. I think, yeah, no, you're right, Hannah. There are times when you feel that that's gonna work out best than just sitting there, especially when sometimes that's the only walk they do. Sometimes some clients are in a place where they just need to get out and talk. I do it often. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. For me, it reminded me of like of when I first started out as a therapist. You think, I don't know if you guys ever think back to that, and I just cringe at some of the things I did. Oh gosh, I'm glad that's not recorded anywhere. So yeah, and I would, for people that know me, they know I could be very like informal, like just in general. And so I would feel the need to like dress a certain way and talk a certain way and present a certain way. And it made this, I was awkward. They were probably awkward. Like it did not work. Like a lot of sessions would fall flat. I just didn't feel comfortable. And when we don't feel comfortable, like people pick up on that and they can feed off of that and stuff. And I just remember the moment vividly where I was just like, what am I doing? I just need to be myself. And I recognized that it would work for some people, and for other people it wouldn't. And I just wouldn't be the therapist for them, and that was okay. And so when I see that, I think of that. I think of just like chill, laid back therapist eating his Cheetos and just like, he worked for that girl or his Skittles, whatever she would bring him. I don't know. That's a whole nother topic. But anyways, yeah. And I thought that those moments were pretty cool. Yeah. And I felt like in those moments, he was also like working through his stuff too, in some ways also. Do you guys ever feel that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he was, at the time, he needed to tell his daughter that he had Parkinson's and he wouldn't do it. And so he's here telling her to talk to her dad about what she's going through. And yeah, that can be very internally conflicting. There's a lot of incongruence there when you're telling your client to do something in the back of your head, like, oh crap, I have a lot to do.
I have a phone call to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually had, I don't know, he might see this, but my therapist, one day we were talking about something with my family and stuff, and then the next session he actually disclosed and said that because of our session he knew he had to make a phone call to his sister. And I was like,
Wow.
I asked him how it went and he didn't really share too much. I think that but I was like, yeah. So it's true. Sometimes we do talk about things, and our clients do have an impact on us too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, ready for the last one? Yeah. Okay.
You have created a textbook dual relationship. Jesus, Jimmy, he lives with you. He needed a place to stay. He's running a business with your white, middle-aged, terrifying neighbor. Does that seem normal? Depends on the person. Is there anybody from his own life that he even sees anymore? Why weren't you just honest with me? Because Alice isn't the only one who knows how fragile you are.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. You guys ever had moments where you hoped that your client was ready to receive, or yeah, has that ever
Yeah.
happened?
Yeah, this week actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough and you got to work yourself up to it. It's hard to find that moment because sometimes there's no perfect time to throw that in there and say, like, this is not the real issue. There's a root to this that goes a little deeper, and then calling them out on stuff. Because and I call it carefrontation. I learned that from my professor. Because we're called to also confront them on what they're doing wrong. It's not always where the client is the perfect person and everybody else in their life is causing problems. Like sometimes the client is also causing problems, and you have to confront them about that. So I call it carefrontation because it's meant to help them in the end, even though it might hurt in the moment.
I love that. Oh, I love that. It's meant to help them in the way for them in the moment. Yeah. That's yeah. It happens sometimes for me. And I notice that like my own insecurity will sometimes seep through in a session. And I kick myself in the moment when I do it because I'm like, what are you doing, Natalie? But sometimes I'll say things like, I'm about to say something and I don't know how it's gonna come out, but I'll just blame myself before I say it. And I know my intention is good. I don't say things flippantly. Like I've thought it through, but I think my own struggle sometimes of like people pleasing or that will just sometimes creep in sessions, and then I'll say it and I'm like, you did it again. Don't do that. But yeah, I'll just like preface with some statement to make it like to be easier to swallow. And I don't know how clients take it sometimes, but that's my own thing in the moment that I'm just like letting into the session that I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I usually try to wait until I built enough rapport and I know that they are going to take it the way I want to send it. And but on occasions it has happened fairly fast in the relationship, so I have found myself saying, you don't know me well enough yet, but I promise you this is to help you. This is my intention. And they receive it well. I think that I have actually some who tell me, no, I want you to hold me accountable. I want you to tell me how it is. And but there are others who everybody's different. And so it's hard to know how they're gonna take it. For me, it's okay, I usually wait a little longer, but I don't want to miss this moment because I think this can be very edifying for you. And so it has turned out good. Yes.
Yeah, I like that phrase. I don't want to miss this moment. And I could relate to that. Yeah, where you can sense that it, like, this is the moment. And then you can sense when it's not the moment, right? And you just tuck it away and save it for later, a later time or something. Yeah, that resonates with me.
That is so true, Natalie, because the opposite has happened as well when clients say something, and I was like, yes, I was waiting for you to say it. And they asked me, why you didn't say anything before? Because this is one that you needed to process and find out. This is your discovery, right? But yes, it's interesting to see how it happens one way or another. But we go back to, okay, doing what is best for them. And not necessarily because we want to, like in the show that we're watching, sometimes is you can tell that he jumps ahead, and which is why he gets in trouble sometimes. But I think is being just knowing, okay, is this the right moment or should I wait?
Yeah, that's really good. You're right. Sometimes we notice things, but we just are waiting for them to, yeah, to arrive at that place on their own. Has there ever been a time where you guys have said something and it's come out wrong, and you're just like, and how do you handle those moments with client? I know how I handle those moments.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of a specific one right now. And this one, it also has to do with Christian counseling. So, like, when a client consents to Christian counseling specifically, I approach it a little bit differently. So, I will bring in scripture and I'll pull it out when they're contradicting it. Or so, I'm thinking one specific situation where I probably should have waited to confront an issue, but I didn't, and it did go poorly. So I ended up backtracking, starting to validate and hopefully mend that situation. But yeah, I've also had clients who previously and like other times with different therapists felt like they were overly validated and they wanted to be challenged. So I also think it really just depends on the client.
Yeah, you're right about that. We do get that sometimes with people saying that they, yeah, they didn't feel like they were challenged enough, yeah, with the previous therapist.
I think you were saying, Hannah, how they remember, right? So they come and they say, I want to talk about what you say last time. And I'm like, oh, what did I say? And or forward. And I appreciate that because one thing that I say is we do life based on assumptions a lot. So we assume a lot. We go to the coffee shop, and if a friend doesn't say hi to us, we're assuming that something is wrong. And so the point is sometimes it's actually good to talk and say, hey, you say this, and I want to know what you meant because what I'm assuming is not good. And it has happened to me once that I remember. And in those moments, it's actually the relationship, the therapeutic relationship is actually better because we're able to talk more about that, and it becomes edifying for both of us. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I love when clients are transparent with us if we've said something, especially if it's gone over my head and I've not even, sometimes we don't even realize it, but I think it's a testament to how comfortable they feel. And I always try to, especially in the beginning when I'm like first getting to know the client, I let them know that truly, like they're not gonna, like we're not gonna take offense or they're not gonna hurt our feelings. Like welcome that, and we embrace honesty from them. But there have been times, actually, it happened earlier today where I said something my mind wasn't even on. I said it with no weight to it. I didn't think so. And then the client said something about it, it mentioned it, so I knew it had it left an imprint. And so I made a mental note that before the session was over, I had to make sure that I clarified what I meant by that. And I didn't want her to leave the session with having any doubt at all about like how I really felt about what we were talking about. And then there have been other times where we've ended the session and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. It stays with me. But it's, wait, did they take it that way? Did they not? I can be a little bit sarcastic sometimes and just witty in sessions. And you never really know how people are going to take things. And so I'll text a client. I have no problem just texting and saying, hey, when I said this, like I meant this, just wanted to make sure you knew that. And most of the time, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. And I think they appreciate that because they also recognize that there's nothing wrong, yeah, with apologizing yeah, we're modeling that for them. And they realize too that we say things sometimes without really thinking it through or realizing the impact that our words might have. And yeah, so I think it brings us closer sometimes. So
Yeah, I totally agree. And I expect clients to tell me if something is wrong. Sometimes they won't, though, but especially if they're a people pleaser type. And I'm thinking of one specific example of a client who does lean into people pleasing pretty often. And at the time, like self-disclosure, I was going through a horrible breakup. And I had like double booked her one time, and then I think one day I just overslept, slept through all of my alarms. And so she called me out on it, and she was like, I feel like you don't care about me because of these scheduling issues. And because she was one standing up for herself and voicing what she was feeling, I was so insanely proud. But then I ended up self-disclosing and I told her what I was going through. And she understood, okay, you're a human too. Like, you are going to make mistakes. And so that made us so much closer. And then we've had so much progress after that because it just, we were on the same page. So I think self-disclosure can help in that way. But also, we need clients to vocalize when they're upset.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. And then but sometimes it's hard for us to do that in our own personal lives too, right? So it's just like this, yeah, just being a person can be hard and messy.
Yes. Which is why I love this show so much.
It's true. Before we wrap up, did you guys pick up on what the book said? And I just noticed it just now when we watched it. I was like, oh, I didn't pick up on that when we watched the show. The Moral Compass. There was a book on the bookshelf that said The Moral Compass.
Oh, my word.
I love it all. Any final thoughts before we end? Yeah.
No good.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed sharing our thoughts on the show. And it's always nice too hearing like other people's perspectives on things, specifically therapists, and then also hearing like your guys' experiences with clients. Because sometimes you wonder, is it just a me thing or a thing with my clients? But it's always good to hear that you're not the only one, I think. So, and we're no different. We're no different. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today on this episode. Like, we were super excited to share our thoughts on this show, and we are going to do two more of these. So keep an eye out for those. And as always, keep reflecting.